RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesian Ministry of Tourism launches Indonesia Sustainable Tourism Award and Archipelagic Restaurant Design Contest. Celebrating 50 years anniversary, ASEAN hold the ASEAN Literary Festival. 11 investors back out from clean energy project. And now the news in detail. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya launched Indonesia Sustainable Tourism Award or ISTA 2017, an archipelagic restaurant design contest on Wednesday, August 2, 2017, at Susilo Sudarman Hall, Gedung Sabta Pesona Jakarta. Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya explained that President Jokowi has set the tourism sector as Indonesia's core business with the consideration that tourism has many advantages, such as being an earner of foreign exchange and creating the largest employment. Minister Arif Yahya said Indonesia Sustainable Tourism Award, or ISTA, gives a special attention on environmentally friendly tourism. ISTA is a promotional and branding event at national and international level to increase tourist visit to Indonesia. In addition, Indonesian President Joko Widodo also encouraged the development of architecture or buildings that show the characteristic of local buildings of certain region as a supporter of Indonesian tourism.
Indonesia Sustainable Tourism Award itu lomba.
Indonesia Sustainable Tourism Award is a competition to choose those who have the most concern about the environment, culture. Secondly, is also the contest on the archipelagic architecture design, specifically for the domestic restaurant. Tourism handles Horeca, hotels, restaurant, cafes, and others. Last year, the hotel was represented by homestay, then restaurant and the cafes. Minister Arif Yahya added, in Indonesia, only a few regions or cities that have implemented local architectural buildings because it needs to continue to be encouraged. Last year, the Ministry of Tourism has completed the archipelagic architecture for homestay, which are now being implemented. The Indonesia Sustainable Tourism Award ISTA 2017 was held from May 30 June 2017. There have been registered 69 destination managers from 43 districts and 23 provinces in Indonesia as participants. The ISTA Award 2017 and the announcement of the winner of Archipelago Restaurant Design Contest 2017 will be held on 27 of September 2017 in Jakarta. On the anniversary of World Tourism Day, which is commemorated as National Tourism Day. The 4th ASEAN Literary Festival held in Kota Tua, Jakarta from 3 to 6 August 2017. This festival is part of the series of 50th anniversary of ASEAN, which falls on August 8, 2017. The theme of this year's commemoration is Beyond Imagination. Executive Director of the ASEAN Literary Festival, Oki Mandasari, in a press conference held on Wednesday, August 2, 2017, explained, "This festival is a container to unite ASEAN countries from literature, culture, literacy, history, and tourism. The festival is participated in by writers, intellectuals, artists, and academicians from 10 ASEAN countries. In addition, the participants were present from 20 countries in Asia, Europe, America, Africa, and Australia." According to Oki Mandasari, this festival can be an initiative of Indonesia as the largest country in Southeast Asia to unite the ASEAN community.
When we talk at the ASEAN level, it is time for Indonesia to play a big role. We are, as the largest country in the Southeast Asia, should take many initiatives to become leaders in Southeast Asia. The ASEAN Literary Festival, together with the central government, local government, will move forward together.
Oki Mandasari further explained, through the festival is expected to give impact to the spread of literature to the people who had not been exposed by literature. With the chosen Kota Tua as the location of the festival is a step to introduce the Kota Tua to the international level. It can also invite people to take care to the museum and historical equipments. In previous years, the ASEAN Literary Festival was opened with a public lecture by influential figures from Southeast Asia. This year, influential writers from Malaysia, Faisal Tehrani, and Director General of Culture Hilmar Farid will deliver a public lecture theme Unifying ASEAN Through Literature. 11 companies have decided not to take part in State Power Company PLN's project. PLN had planned to partner up with 64 clean energy companies but ended up only signing Power Purchase Agreement, PPA, with 53. The signing ceremony was held in Jakarta on Wednesday, August 2nd. PLN's procurement director, Niki Widyawati, said that the clean energy business in Indonesia is just starting up. She said there are power plants being constructed that will generate 2,000 megawatt. Other plants will generate 1,000 megawatt are currently in the process of the financial closing. The Indonesian Hydro Power Companies Association said that most companies that cancel their business plans are micro hydro developers. The Energy and Mineral Resources Director General of Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation, Rida Mulyana, asked private developers to be patient because a pricing policy revision will be signed by Energy Minister Ignatius Jonansun with figures that benefit everyone. The West Java administration has vowed to complete the land acquisition process for the light rail transit LRT project within 2 weeks after the project location approval was finished. West Java Deputy Governor Deddy Mizwar said some 600 hectares of land across the LRT project site in West Java, including the Cawang to East Bekasi track, West Bekasi track, as well as the Cibubur to Bogor track, were still privately owned. He said recently in Jakarta that after the paperwork is complete and the location is clear, West Java administration will form a team for every district to disseminate the information to the people and assist the contractors. He added that for the land clearing process of plots of land exceeding 5 hectares, the government would prepare the necessary project location approval document, but that those with a size less than 5 hectares would be directly cleared through a business scheme. In Bekasi, the government requires 10 hectares of land for the LRT train depot, 5 hectares for which are still privately owned, while the other 5 hectares are owned by the LRT contractor, namely the state construction firm Adikarya. Adikarya has said the construction of the LRT would be completed in 2018 and was set to begin operation in 2019. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government is ready to implement its social forestry program, which aims to distribute idle land owned by state-owned forestry company Perhutani to farmers, rolling it out initially in two regions in Java. Indonesian Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution said on Wednesday, August 2nd, that two locations in each province, Central Java and East Java, were ready to be utilized. The government was also studying three locations in West Java as part of the program. He said farmers could receive 500 to 2,500 hectares of land, which would be utilized under the cluster scheme, focusing on planting certain commodities in one area. Minister Darmin said the government cannot postpone the program simply to wait for land that is not yet ready. The program, which is part of the government's land reforms, will allow farmers to utilize state-owned land for 35 years with government review conducted every 5 years to see whether the program is working or not. The social forestry program will distribute 570,000 hectares of idle Perhutani land to underprivileged people in Java. The revitalization of simple rental flats, Rusun Nawa, is a solution to increasing the availability of affordable housing in Jakarta. Urban observer from the Trisakti University, Yayat Supriyatna, has stated on Wednesday, August 2nd in Jakarta, that by revitalizing Rusun Nawa, more people who cannot afford to have a house in Jakarta can be accommodated. According to Supriyatna, residents who have been benefiting by living in Rusun Nawa should not be selfish. He emphasized there are still several other underprivileged people who need Rusun Nawa, and hence the revitalization is considered important. Further, he added that revitalization aims to improve the quality of Rusun Nawa buildings so that residents will be able to lead a better life. He noted that the old residents would be guaranteed to return to living in new buildings of better quality without having to spend a fee. With regard to the issue of occupants refusing to be temporarily relocated, the owners of Rusun Nawa can communicate the matter with them. Meanwhile, Executive Director of the Housing Resource Center, Mahditya Paramita, also said the revitalization of Rusun Nawa flats could be a solution to overcoming the limitation of housing in Jakarta. The last item. Indonesia Badak's team took part in an international ice hockey tournament held in Beijing, China on July 24th to August 1st. Despite losing to the host team, the Indonesian team, comprising children aged 7 to 12, wowed the spectators crowding the tournament called 2017 CCM International Youth Hockey Invitational at Rink THC, Yul Guan Town, Changping District, Beijing. Indonesian Deputy Ambassador to China, Listiowati, said in Beijing on Wednesday that she is proud of their performances, considering that ice hockey is not a popular sport among children in Indonesia, which is a tropical country. Indonesia Badaks play against South Korea, Russia, Canada, and host China at the annual tournament. The Indonesian Ice Hockey Federation, FHEI, is expected to represent the country more international tournaments in the future. Ice hockey is a sport which has rapidly gained popularity in Southeast Asia. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesian Ministry of Tourism launches Indonesia Sustainable Tourism Award and Archipelagic Restaurant Design Contest. Celebrating 50 years anniversary, ASEAN hold the ASEAN Literary Festival. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listeners, nice to meet you again in our regular program commentary. The title of commentary today is The Result of Indonesian Government's Firmness Against Telegram. More recently, the Taton blockchain Telegram Web, the instant messenger service application, has been a serious discussion among Indonesian people. The blockchain issue started from the Telegram's impression of lack of responsiveness to the government of Indonesian concerns. Telegram is suspected to be used by irresponsible parties in spreading terrorism and radicalism contents. The government demands Telegram administrators to help Indonesia fighting the terrorist activities through their public channel. However, Telegram thinks it's natural that they have been very reserved from any kind of interventions. This is meant to preserve the added value of the application itself. They claim that Telegram cannot be hacked by anyone until now. Although cyclists disagree with what the Indonesian government did, this assertiveness is proved to soften Telegram. Telegram CEO Pavel Durov eventually visited Indonesia this week to establish communication with Indonesia Minister of Communication and Informatics. Minister of Communication and Informatics Ridanter said that the government and Telegram side finally reached a cooperation agreement and a plan to form a special joint team. This team will oversee the various propagandas of terrorist groups in Telegram services. Pavel Durov also confirmed that Telegram will obey the rules of the Indonesian government. There are two things that can be underlined from this case. On one hand, it is related to the state sovereignty or the government firmness. On the other hand, there is the potential presence of spreading the negative contents through services in the form of data, information or multimedia files via internet network. The companies that run such services or so-called over the top or OTT services generally see themselves superior. In the name of protection of individual rights and the freedom of expression, the negative contents seems to be allowed to run rampant. Some people say the firmness of the Indonesian government is not the popular policy in the public times. Therefore, the steps shown by the Minister of Communication and Informatics that messages to soften Telegram need to be appreciated. Although the follow-up of the agreement with the Telegram is still in the process, it seems to find a new light to accommodate all parties. At least, the establishment of rules in this country is one of sovereignty. This is the part of protection attempt of the community, including the attempt to enjoy OTT services without being contaminated with counterproductive contents. Surely the result will be this finest one if it can be followed by all countries in the world and extend firmness to other OTT services. The spirit that is prioritized does not aim to curb the rights on and the freedom of every individual, but rather to guarantee of its fulfillment. It is necessary to remember the rights and freedom of a person has certain limit, namely the rights and freedom of others. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening. I'm here, Mana Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome back to our Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start with an event on August 3, 1960, where Independence of Niger happens. Independence Day of the Republic of Niger is commemorated on August 3, marking the independence of Niger from French in 1960. The Republic of Niger is a landlocked country in Western Africa. Niger is bordered with Nigeria and Benin in the south, Mali in the west, Algeria and Libya in the north, and Chad in east. The name of this country is taken from the river Niger. In addition to its landlocked position, Niger faces serious challenges to poor educational development and the poverty of its people, lack of infrastructure, poor health care, and various environmental issues. Since independence, Niger has lived under five constitutions and three periods of military rule. After a military coup in 2010, Niger has become a democratic and multi-party state. Let's move to an event on August 3, 2005, where Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was sworn in as President of Iran. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is the sixth President of Iran. His presidency began on August 3, 2005. He is widely known as a conservative figure that is very loyal to the values of the Islamic Revolution of Iran.
During the Iran-Iraq War, Ahmadinejad joined the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps in 1986. He later became chief engineer of the 6th Army Corps and the chief of staff of the corps in the west of Iran. After the war, he served as deputy governor and governor of Maku and Koi, minister of culture and Islamic theory, and governor of Ardabil province from 1993 to October 1997. Then Ahmadinejad was elected as a mayor of Tehran in May 2003. During his tenure, he did many changes undertaken by previous moderate and reformist mayors and prioritized religious values in activities in cultural center. After 2 years as mayor of Tehran, Ahmadinejad was elected as the new president of Iran. In the 2013 Iranian presidential election, he was replaced by moderate conservative Hassan Rouhani. We end today's edition of Today in History with an event on August 3, 2005. Where Mauritania's army overthrew President Mouya Ould Sidi Ahmed Taya. Soldiers and members of the President's Guard in Mauritania launched a coup against President Mouya Ould Taya. The coup was launched when President Mouya Ould Taya was in Saudi Arabia to attend King Fahd's funeral. Soldiers took over armed forces headquarters, state televisions and state radio. When he left the country to visit Saudi Arabia's King Fahd cemetery in early August 2005, soldiers reported hurting state media. A group calling itself the Military Council for Justice and Democracy announced a coup in the statement made by state news agency on August 3, 2005. The coup was led by Colonel Eli Old Mohamed Fall and formed the military junta. It was announced that the military dictatorship would be held for 2 years to prepare for the implementation of democratic institution. Well, listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus, entitled Unibos to establish a study center of ASEAN. Facing the growing rapid growth of the Asian Economic Community, AEC, Bosowa University Unibos pays particular attention to forming the development plans of the Asian Study Center at Unibos. This is marked by the presence of Secretary of the Director General of Asian Cooperation at Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ashariadi, last Friday at Bosowa University in Makassar, South Sulawesi, at a meeting with the academic community. The discussion of the establishment of Asian Study Center with Ashariadi was welcomed by Unibos Rector, Professor Saleh Palu. The meeting was also attended by Deputy Rector and Deans of the faculties of Bosowa University. In his speech, Ashariadi said that Indonesia has entered the era of Asian Economic Community, AEC, and will apply Asian Integrated Regional Operation in 2025, and this becomes a special attention from various foreign policies. So strong leadership is needed within the scope of ASEAN, which currently has formed 36 centers of study throughout Indonesia. Ashariadi hopes this will help in the face of a global entity. Ashariadi also added, the ASEAN Study Center is formed in Makassar, South Sulawesi, because remembering Makassar as a city has rapid progress in terms of economy. The first Asian Study Center will be established at Bosowa University. Meanwhile, Unibos Rector Professor Saleh Palu said that plant has received great support from the academic community of Unibos. He feels that the establishment of this study center provides a positive image not only in facing the AEC, but also in pushing students to cooperate to develop Indonesia. He said that important values and social norms must be created in higher education. More importantly, the study center will focus more on the pillars of socio-cultural development within the scope of AAC. With the establishment of the Asian Study Center, students are assisted in conducting a more objective and critical study that is useful in the development of scholarship, especially Indonesia. Listener, that was Focus. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Tourism Minister Arif Yahya launched Indonesia Sustainable Tourism Award or ISTA 2017 and Archipelagic Restaurant Design Contest on Wednesday, August 2, 2017 at Susilo Sudarman Hall, Gedung Sabta Pesona, Jakarta. The 4th ASEAN Literary Festival is held in Kota Tua, Jakarta from 3rd to 6th August 2017. 11 companies have decided not to take part in State Power Company PLN's project. The West Java Administration has voted to complete the land acquisition process for the light rail transit project within 2 weeks after the project location approval was finished. The Indonesian government is ready to implement its social forestry program, which aims to distribute idle land owned by state-owned forestry company Perhutani to farmers, rolling it out initially in 2 regions in Java. The revitalization of simple rental flats Rusunawa is a solution to increasing the availability of affordable housing in Jakarta. And the last item, Indonesia Badak's team took part in an international ice hockey tournament held in Beijing, China on July 24 to August 1st. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder. Today we will invite you to see Bangka Belitung Province. Stay tuned. Bangka is one of the big islands in Bangka Belitung Province. This island is rich of its natural beauty and its tourism potential. For example, South Bangka Regency. This region is one of the areas which is gifted with such natural beauty and the magnificent cultural heritage. The attractiveness of natural tourism is in the form of marine tourism with beautiful coastline. You can find variety of beautiful coral beaches like Batu Prahu Beach, Batu Kapur Beach, Tanjung Krasak Beach, Tanjung Besar Beach. In addition, clusters of island in Lepar Islands is interesting to be explored. In these islands, there is Benteng Penutuk Historical Tourism. Kemulut Island is also well known of its lighthouse and the starfish habitat. Kelapan Island contains a lot of captivated views under the sea. Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will invite you to know about one of the attractive marine tourism in South Bangka, Kelapan Island. Kelapan Island is located in Lepar Pongok Sub-District, South Bangka Regency. This island could be accessed approximately 3 hours from Pangkal Pinang City, Bangka Belitung Province, to South Bangka Regency. From Sadai Harbour, you can rent a fishing boat or a speedboat for around 1.5 hours. To reach Kelapan Island, you will spend 300,000 rupiah per group, which consists of 30 people. The cost includes boat renting and diving equipments. Listener, during the trip to this island, you will be served by the beauty of small islands, clear water, and some coral reef spots which can be seen from the boat by using naked eyes. Before arriving in Klapan Island, you will pass two big islands, Lepar and Pongok Islands. When you are in Klapan Island, you will witness the green island with the white sand. The water is clear and waveless, so this will make you easier to look at the coral reef and colorful fish. Snorkeling becomes a pleasure activity for tourists in Klapan Island. Besides snorkeling, you can dive in Klapan Island. Many coral reef spots could be found in this island, including drowned shipwrecks. You are suggested to carry your fishing equipments because this area is very popular of its fishing spots. The spots are not less popular from any other regions in Indonesia. Do not forget to capture the beautiful views of Klapan Island with your camera, especially when it is sunset. If you are not satisfied snorkeling and diving in Klapan Island, you can try snorkeling and diving in Lepar and Pongok Islands. The location of these islands are not far from Klapan. If you want to stay in, don't worry, living accommodation is available in this island. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Klapan Island of Bangka Belitung. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you then.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, it's a pleasure to meet you again in our miscellany for today. In this edition of Miscellany, I will provide information about free transportation for tourists in Banyuwangi, East Java. Stay tuned. Listener, many foreign tourists enjoy their vacation for a long time in Banyuwangi, East Java. They take a holiday for averagely up to 1 week or more in Banyuwangi. Banyuwangi is selected as a holiday destination by foreign tourists because it has all things they want, from the sea, the mountains, the beautiful scenery to the culture. Another asset owned by Banyuwangi to attract foreign tourists is its accessibility. Currently, there is a direct flight from Jakarta to Banyuwangi every day by NAM Air, which has been operated since June 2017. To boost up the number of tourist visits, regional authorities also increase another tourism power support. One of them is transportation intended for tourists. The government of Banyuwangi Regency East Java provides free transportation every weekend for tourists who will visit the places of interest in Banyuwangi. There are three fleets prepared,
2 units of minibus with a capacity of 21 people and a unit of station wagon with a capacity of 10 people. The minibus will operate every Saturday and Sunday, serving the route to Merah Island, Bangsering Underwater, and city tour to get around urban areas. Meanwhile, the wagon serves Ijen Crater route. Free transportation is provided to give the best service to tourists who enjoy their vacation in Banyuwangi. This attempt is also aimed to facilitate the tourists to reach tourism sites. The soft launch of this free travel transportation was held on July 31st. The free transportation is still on trial phase before it will be officially launched by the Minister of Tourism and Minister of Transportation. The tourists who want to take this free transportation can register online at www.banyuwangitourism.com/jalan-jalan www.banyuwangitourism.com/jalan-jalan On the website, the tourist simply fill in the registration form, including the date of departure and the tourist attractions they want to visit. Later on, the notification of verification email will be sent to the registered tourist. Free transportation departs from the point of departure in Brawijaya Terminal. At the point of departure, the Portable Tourist Information Center or TIC is also available. So before taking the trip, tourists can get detailed information about tourism in Banyuwangi. Listener, that was miscellany for today with the topic free transport for tourists in Banyuwangi. We will meet again in the next miscellany. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me in the Music Corner, the regular segment which introduces you to Indonesian music. To initiate the segment for today, let's listen to the first song entitled Cinta by Titiek Puspa.
Thank you.
Indeed, love is the most memorable thing in every human life. Without love, the world feels empty. However, love often brings disasters. That's what implied from the lyrics of the song, which was sung by Titiek Puspa and also its composer. Titiek Puspa relies heavily on the love atmosphere in her songwriting. One of them is love, the homeland. Titiek Puspa creates encouraging songs and inspires young people to feel our independence. Well, listener, now we'll present a number of nuanced struggle from Titiek Puspa entitled Pantang Mundur.
Pasti kau pahlawan, ku relakan di kau berjuang demi keagungan negara. Kanda pergi ke Medan Jaya.
The Spirit of Persistence by Indonesian Heroes Who Brought Indonesian People Enjoy the Independence. That's the essence of the song, which we have just gave to you, listener. Well, at the end of the segment, we present the last two songs entitled Gugur Bunga and Tanah Airku by Titiek Puspa. Happy listening, and sampai jumpa. Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Kerja bertahan taruh seluruh jiwa raga. Bibir senyum, kata halus merayu memanja kepada setiap mereka yang datang. Yang dia kerjakan, sucikah mereka yang datang? Kadang dia tersenyum dalam tangis, kadang dia menangis di dalam senyuman. Oh, apa yang terjadi? Terjadi dirinya. Ada yang butuh dirinya, ada yang berlutut menyintanya, ada pula yang kejam menyiksa dirinya. Ini hidup wanita si kupu-kupu malam, bekerja bertaruh seluruh jiwa raga. Bibir senyum, kata halus merayu memanja kepada setiap mereka yang datang. Dosakah yang dia kerjakan? Sucikah mereka yang datang? Kadang dia tersenyum dalam tangis, kadang dia menangis di dalam senyuman. Oh, apa yang terjadi, terjadilah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.